right. Find your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew's lucky chapter number 13. If you think in terms of donuts, that is a lucky number. Baker's dozen, right? Matthew 13, we're going to start reading in verse number 24 and complete down to verse number 30. So please join me on all of the odd verses. We'll read these verses responsively. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to use it today. A parable is simply a story that illustrates a truth. Please listen to this next statement. A parable, the importance of the parable is not the story. The importance of the parable is the truth that it teaches. You say, well, is it a true story? It doesn't matter. The truth is the issue, not the story. We would sometimes use the word illustration. It's not a fable. It is a story that illustrates a truth. Jesus often taught in parables. You say, why? Because he knew people would understand the application of the truth better if it had a story attached to it. Thus is the case today. Here we have the parable of what they call the wheat and tares. Jesus teaches us that a man goes out and he sows his field with seed, and during the night one of the enemies comes in and begins to put tares. I'll use the word weeds. The term good seed meant all of the seed had been sifted and it's just the crop that he needed. And yet somebody came in and took tares and sowed it amongst all of his field one night while everybody slept. Nobody could tell the difference until as the wheat or the grain began to grow. The Bible said when the blade showed forth, then all the tares began to grow too, and you could see the difference. The workers came and said, Master, should we go out and get rid of all the weeds? And he said, No, let them grow together. And at the time of harvest, then what I want you to do is first go out and gather up all the weeds and pull them. Because if you pull them now, you're going to pull up all of the good seed. You're going to hurt the crop. He said, let it grow together till it's time for harvest. Then go out, gather the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them. He said, why would they burn them? So that they could not reproduce again. Burn them up, but then go out and gather the grain and bring it into my barns and fill the barns. Now, that is the parable. Say, preacher, what does that mean? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5 again. Look at verse number 36. Verse And notice Jesus speaks two more parables between this. Later in the day, Jesus is with his disciples. Look at verse 36. Then when Jesus sent the multitude away and went in unto the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, declare us the parable of the tares in the field. Now look at me. The disciples said, Jesus, you talked about this parable about the tares in the field. Can you, the term declare there, define it. Make it clear to us. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. By the way, that's Jesus. The field, chapter 13. I'm sorry. You're supposed to read what I'm thinking, not what I said. Yeah, that key statement this time. Sorry. Chapter 13, verse 36 and 37 now. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. I wondered why y'all were still turning. Watch this, verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out all his kingdom, all things that are offered, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now skip down to verse number 49. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now listen to me. Jesus very clearly is telling us this is a picture of the saved and the lost. The end of the world, meaning at the time of rapture, when the Lord comes back, and I realize that's not the end of the world per se, but when everything is done, the grain, the goods will be separated from the evil, and the evil will be gathered together and burned. And it's talking about a place called hell. Listen to me very carefully here. There is a real place called hell. There is a real place that burns like a lake of fire. Jesus tells us that the saved and lost dwell together now here on earth. But one day there'll be a separation. And we will be separated from the lost, and the lost will be gathered and burned in the lake of fire, where Jesus said there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now please listen to this, these next few statements. I'm not trying to cause trouble. It happens naturally. But we have to realize these are the very words of our Savior. All of the Bible are the words of God. They are not man's words. Matthew 13 is not Matthew's words. They're God's words. Matthew is the person that penned them down as God gave them word for word. They weren't the thoughts of God into Matthew's mind because Matthew was a sinner. God could not trust his incorruptible seed to a corruptible mind. These are the very words of God. But these in particular words were spoken by Jesus himself on the earth at that time. Hell is not a place anyone wants to go to. But hell is a real place. Listen to this next statement. Hell is a place that lasts forever. There's no end to it, just like heaven is a real place. And there's no end to that. This is where I'll probably get in trouble, but I don't give a flip. So much for preachers who say, well, there's not a literal hell. Mr. Billy Graham was wrong.
That's right.
When he said there's no literal hell, it's just a vacuum in space. No. Do you realize that Jesus spoke of hell twice as much as he did heaven?
Right.
Oh, we love the passage of John 14. Let not your heart, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We love that passage, but we don't like the ones where he talks about hell.
Yeah.
Hell is a real place.
Sure.
And Jesus talked of hell almost twice as often as he spoke of heaven. Why would Jesus spend so much time talking about this place called hell? Now look at me. Hell was not created for man. For a person to die and go to hell, they're doing exactly what God did not want done. My Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Say, what does that mean, preacher? Before man was created, the fall of Satan in Isaiah 14 had taken place. And hell was created for the devil and those angels that followed him. It is a super torture chamber for spiritual beings that rebelled and sinned in heaven. But when man was created on earth, we were created without sin. But Genesis chapter 3, Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned. God's justice requires the same punishment for the same wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. How could a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't.
That's right.
Man chooses to sin.
Amen.
And God's justice requires the same punishment for the same offense. That's why in Isaiah chapter 5, I believe, it says, hell hath enlarged itself. Hell had to expand to accommodate man who sinned, who would not get saved. God never intended for man to be there. God intended for man to live on earth like Jesus did without sin. But we blew it. And each and every one of us have blown it since Adam and Eve. Well, I haven't sinned. There's your first one. I was out soul winning one day, and this lady says, well, I've never sinned. I said, ma'am, there's your first one, because the book of 1 John says, if any man says he's not sinned, he's a liar, and lying's a sin. I said, so there's your first one. She didn't like that. I didn't care. But why would Jesus spend so much time talking about a place called hell, and honestly, he wasn't preaching to the lost people. He was preaching to his disciples. They were saved. Because Jesus knew that we sinners who are saved, it was our responsibility to take the gospel to the lost people of this world. And we needed the visual. We needed the reminder more often. Not that we're not going to go to hell, but that others will if we don't get them the gospel.
Right.
Jesus came to save us. Why did he come to save us? He came to save us so that God the Father could have the creation that he made that he loves so much back.
Amen.
But sin separates us from that. Jesus went to the Father and said, I'll go pay the price so you can have them back. And God's will is that every human being receive the gospel and get saved.
Amen.
God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any person to die and go to hell. Well, preacher, do you believe anybody can get saved? Yes. I believe even nasty Nancy Pelosi could get saved. I believe that left-wing nut Bernie Sanders could get saved. And I believe God wants them to get saved. Now listen to me very close, carefully here. God is not willing that any should perish. You think Adolf Hitler could have got saved? Yep. I know this. He went to a Baptist church as a teenager and the gospel never got preached and he turned on God because of it. I wonder how many people will stand in judgment because we never got them the gospel. Yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day. And thank God for those of our men who went ashore and gave their life. Think of this statement for a second, but I wonder how many of them went from the hell of D-Day and landing in Normandy to literally burning in hell so that we could have freedom. That statement haunts me. My son, we were able to talk to him last night. He's in the Air Force. He's stationed in Puerto Rico right now. I said, is there anything that you've done that you're allowed to tell me? Nope. But we've been busy, Dad. Yeah. The few things that he did tell us were chilling enough. But I know what's going on out there. I can read between the lines. Now listen to me very carefully. I thank God for those who have served. There's Brother Jim, Korean War vet. Thank God for Brother Jim. Amen. And many of you men and ladies who have served. And thank God for it. But I wonder, we did that so that we could have freedom to get the gospel out. Contrary to what the public educators want to tell you, America was founded on Christian principles, on the Word of God.
Amen.
They're a bunch of filthy liars and have tried to rewrite history.
Right.
Jesus came so that man could be reunited with God. Listen to this next statement. But it's not God's fault if people don't get the gospel.
That's right.
It's our fault. I'm going to make a statement that will not sit well with some, but it's the truth. We really have no business saying, oh God, would you save so and so? God's done everything that he can do for everybody to get saved.
Amen.
It's not God's fault if somebody doesn't get saved. First of all, have we given them the gospel? And that has to be between that person and God, not between me and God.
That's right.
My job is to get the gospel to every person. I'm not commanded anywhere in Scripture to see somebody get saved. I am commanded to get the gospel so everybody has an opportunity.
Amen.
It's just like in America. We're a land of equality, not sameness. That means we all equally stand under the law, including Congress.
Amen.
Equality doesn't mean we all have the same thing. That's communism. That's Marxism.
That's
the government being God, not God being God.
Amen.
Equality means that the same officer that stopped you for speeding is going to stop him for speeding. Not me, because I'm going to keep the speed limit. Now, wait a second. Equality means we all have access to it, but it doesn't mean we all have the same thing. Did you know it's not wrong for people to be rich? I know that's contrary. But when's the last time you went to Skid Row and asked somebody for a job? A person living in a box, homeless, doesn't have the wherewithal to hire anybody. America wasn't founded for everybody to have the same things, just the same opportunity.
Amen.
And that's exactly what God means by that responsibility is on us to make sure everybody has the same opportunity to get saved as you've had. Jesus is trying to motivate those of us who are saved to remember hell and that real people that live amongst us are going to die and go there if we don't give them the gospel.
Amen.
I'm talking about the people you work with. I'm talking about those who live in your neighborhood. I'm talking about those with whom you fellowship. I'm talking about those with whom a long time ago you went to school with, maybe. Each and every person we see and greet and meet, they live among us and we live among them, just like the wheat and the tares. And who is going to tell them the truth except us?
Amen.
And we've got to realize if we don't get them the truth, that one day they'll be gathered and those that don't receive the truth will be burning in a place called hell.
Amen.
Say, preacher, is this hellfire damnation preaching? Call it what you want, but that's what it is. God put the responsibility on those of us who are saved to go tell the lost how to get saved. If we don't tell them, who will? Well, I'm just going to pray for God. No, God already told you to do it. Don't get mad at me. Many of you have lost loved ones, and I'm for that. You say, well, preacher, what do I do? Give them the gospel. So, well, they live far away. Get me where they live. I'll find somebody that'll take the gospel to them.
Yes.
My wife never met her real biological dad. He left just after she was born. Of course, my mother-in-law remarried, and her stepdad's been her dad for 50-some years. Not that my wife's that old, but my stepdad is. Whew. I'm hungry. I want to eat today, amen. I was looking at that eyeball, looking at me like, Now, wait a second. I remember we looked for, it had to be about 10 years or more. And I finally found out where he was. I went through all kinds of stuff. And the purpose of her finding him was not to meet him, but it was to get somebody to take the gospel to him to see if he would get saved. Found out he was out in Colorado, and I happened to know a pastor that was probably about 45 minutes to an hour from him. Got the address to him, and after a couple of weeks, I got word back from that pastor that he and one of his assistants went out there and led her biological dad and his current wife to the Lord, maybe one of the children. I worked for Brother Hiles at the time, and I was going to try to work out that they could meet each other. Some of you have heard the story. We both went to meet with him, and I told the whole story. Brother Hiles was smiling. He was grinning. I said, but how do we work out them meeting? He said, Brother Craig, let me talk to your wife for a second. That's fine. He said, Debbie, could you live the rest of your life without meeting him? She said, I've lived this long. Why couldn't I? And he looked at me and said, Brother Craig, you're not going to understand this like your wife and I do. He said, my daddy left me when I was a boy. He said, my advice is don't meet. Don't complicate life for your children. Don't complicate life for your in-laws. Don't complicate life for your wife. And don't complicate life for her biological dad's family. He said, Debbie, if you could live the rest of your life not knowing, he said, your purpose was to get him saved. He got saved. You'll meet in heaven someday. He said, I just let it be. I thought, there weren't 10 years of my life. Now, my mom and dad had been married since Noah got off the ark. When mom went to heaven, they'd been married 59 years. Dad helped build the ark. I'm going to pay for that. Yeah, he's awake. Yeah, probably building another paddle, amen? Wait a second. I didn't understand that. I do now. But may I say something? The purpose was to get the gospel. We got the gospel there. We weren't sitting there praying, oh God, save so-and-so. God had done everything necessary for so-and-so to get saved. It took action to get somebody to take the gospel to them. And it's not God's responsibility. It's our responsibility. Why did Jesus preach so much on hell? To try to motivate us to keep those who live amongst us from going there. If you came to my neighborhood, everybody that lives in our cul-de-sac knows me as the pastor. Almost everybody in my neighborhood has been to our church. All of my neighbors have been witnessed to by me personally and my wife. Many have been saved. We just moved into the house, and less than 10 days later, one of my neighbors died, and they asked me to do his funeral. A lot of the neighbors showed up, and I preached the gospel. Just this last week, we went. One of my neighbors went to heaven about a year and a half ago. I took his widow to go see his grave. I remember the day Richard got saved. Now, wait a second. Maybe we ought to look around us a different way. Realize those people with whom you work are going to die and go to hell if we don't tell them. Right. Those who live in your neighborhood that you're neighborly with will die and go to hell if we don't tell them. Preacher, why are we going out next week to try to pass out gospel tracts and get the gospel to each and every person we can? Because they're going to die and go to hell if we don't tell them. Let me give you a couple thoughts today. Number one, we as Christians need to keep the reality of hell before us. May I say something? Nobody likes to think about it. Nobody likes, if they love people, preaching on hell. I don't like it. I hate it. But I'm obligated to, because that's what Jesus said I was supposed to do. We need to be thankful for our salvation, because do you realize if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't spend one second in hell?
Amen.
Yeah. Did you ever meet those Christians, Brother Kevin? Oh, I'm saved. Woe's me. Yeah. It takes me about 2 seconds to get out of that kind of mood. Bless God, I don't have to go to hell. I'll never face the eternal fires of hell. I'll never face the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'm never going to face the eternal falling of hell. I'm never going to face living with the screams of people suffering in hell for eternity. I'm never going to have to face, by the way, when you go there, the diseases you had there follow you. The pain of cancer will not leave. All those things follow you there as part of the judgment. Eternal darkness. You don't understand darkness till you've been down in a mine somewhere. Yeah. How many of you have ever been down in the mine somewhere where it's total darkness? I mean, you can put your hand on your nose and not see anything. We were up in Minnesota at an iron ore mine. We were about a mile and a half underground. Had my kids there. Mindy's shaking her head already. They said, all right, everybody turn out your flashlights. And the guy lit a candle. And he's talking, and that candle lights up a good bit, but down there a whole lot more than you would think up here. He said, do I have somebody willing to blow this candle out? One of my sons. He held that candle down to that kid. In the next moment, I had 8 arms grabbing me. 3 children and 1 wife. I felt hands everywhere. And the guy was saying, this is what you call total darkness. And he talked for a moment, and my mind immediately went to the darkness of hell. Then we turned our lights back on, but in hell there'll be no lights. There'll be no reprieve from it. That's a darkness that actually you feel. it's so dark. Do you know, if you're saved, you never have to face that? It's something you ought to thank God for on a regular basis. Maybe you wouldn't be such a miserable Christian. I have a prayer that I pray often to God. A statement that I use often in my prayer to God. God, may I live with the fire of hell about my feet and the glory of heaven above my head. I never want to get to the point where I don't feel the heat from the fire. You say, why? Because we can get focused on heaven so much we forget about the hell that's underneath us. We need to look at humanity and realize we hold the tickets they need to get to heaven. Let me ask you a question. If we don't tell them, who will? Well, preacher, I'm afraid. Are you so afraid that you're going to let somebody die and go to hell? Do you realize we hold the tickets they need to keep them from a torture chamber for eternity? Yes, I'm not saying that every person you talk to is going to get saved, but at least you can give them the gospel and you're not accountable for it. God and Jesus have done everything necessary and all they can or will do for people to get saved. It's on us to get the gospel to them. How can God send anybody to hell? He didn't. We do, because we don't tell them the truth. Why do we always want to blame God? All the praying in the world isn't going to get one person saved. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Yes, I realize that's a different chapter. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 21. Again, this is Jesus speaking. Obviously, all the words of God are his words. But he on earth speaking these words, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A lot of people sitting in quote-unquote churches today, trying to earn their way to heaven, thinking they're going to get there, because they took the Holy Eucharist, or the Holy Cow, or Holy Harry Carey or something or other, or they spoke in some unknown jibber jabber, or they felt it and they felt the Holy Ghost. They've done all their good deeds and they gave money and they did this and they did that, and they're going to get to heaven one day and said, Lord, look at all the things we did. He said, yeah, but you didn't do what my will was. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You never got saved. I never knew you. Depart from me. I didn't say they were bad people. They're sincere people following a lie. Look at Luke chapter 16 for a moment. Luke chapter 16. Look at verse number 23. This is about another parable, the rich man and Lazarus. And verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Can you imagine being in so much torment that much water would be a comfort? Just a drop. That means hell is real. Skip down to verse 27 in the same chapter. Luke chapter 16, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, meaning Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Look at me. There are people in hell begging God to send people to their loved ones.
Right.
And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, father, Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Right.
He said, look, we're not sending anybody else from the dead. They have Moses and the prophets. By the way, that's us.
Yeah.
And if they won't hear us, they're going to die and go to hell. There are people in hell begging for you to tell their loved ones about Jesus in heaven so that their loved ones don't have to die and go to hell.
Right.
Do you realize there are people praying in hell for you to go tell somebody about Jesus? Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse number 15. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt thou be thrust down to hell? He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me is him that sent me. Look at me. We're not there representing us. We're not telling others about us. We're telling others about Jesus and the gospel. Well, people might say something mean. They're not talking about you. They're talking about God. Don't take it so personal, but take it personal. You see, God placed us on the earth to tell others after we're saved. Is that not what the Great Commission's all about? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations.
Right.
Notice it doesn't say it's a suggestion. He said, go ye. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Right.
That doesn't sound like a request. He said, go ye. Well, what's ye mean? You. What's Acts chapter 1, verse number 8? But ye shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses.
Amen.
You see, God placed that responsibility on us.
That's right.
If we don't tell them, who will? Walk out your door this afternoon and look around your neighborhood. And how many people are going to die and go to hell because you never gave them the gospel? Let's see Miss Paula back there. Every drunk in town's going to at least get the gospel from her. That lady puts more gospel tracts and more boxes and bottles of liquor than any person I ever saw. Yeah, that one. I wonder how many people went to their house and opened up a bottle of Bud Dummer and got the gospel, amen? She's got it down to which ones you got to fold, which ones you got to shove here, which ones you got to put there. God bless her. I'll take that. We've got people sitting in here because Miss Kathy started putting gospel tracts on gas pumps. And sitting two rows ahead of her is Miss Nancy, who she went to the Methodist church that accepted all the alphabet soup and the rainbow people. Got tired of it. And bless her heart, she got a lost husband and he got tired of hearing her complain about the church. Filling up with gas. And said, here, these people care enough. Why don't you go there? And she joined our church.
Amen.
Don't tell me it doesn't work.
Amen.
I don't know how many times I pulled up at a gas station. People are sitting there with gospel tracts with my face on it. I jump out of my truck and they're going. I say, hey, you were here before I was. Don't do that. It wasn't my fault. I'm not kidding. I love it. Say, what is that? It's our responsibility to tell everybody we can. Let me ask you a question. What if somebody wouldn't have given you the gospel? Where would you be? Some of us went to help Brother Kevin and Miss Cheryl yesterday to try to finish up some things there in Blacksville. Brother Aaron and I were talking in the van on the way back. And he said, "Preacher, thank you for knocking on my door one day." Amen. I was fighting tears. I remember knocking on that door. You were as sweaty as I was. 100 degrees out. He was mowing grass. And yet, somebody was out giving the gospel. Was it uncomfortable? Yeah, it was hot. I mean, hot. Guess what? God uses it. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What if somebody wouldn't have told you? Where would you be? I thank God for Save Mama and Daddy, that as a young child took us to church. I don't know my Sunday school teacher's name. I'm sure she's in heaven. She was an old lady. I was about 4.5 years old. I know she was an old lady. She had to be at least 40. She was a white-haired lady when I had her as a Sunday school teacher. But a man got up in primary church for a bunch of kindergartners and young people. One-legged Vietnam vet had a peg leg. That man got up and preached on hell that day. Scared the bejeebers out of me, Brother Steve. I went over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her dress and said, "I don't want to go there." Amen. We knelt down at a little kindergartner-style chair. She took her Bible and opened it up and showed me what Jesus could do for me. And as a 4.5-year-old child, I knelt beside my Sunday school teacher and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. That was 55 years ago. Shut up. You're just jealous. I'm just as saved now as I was then.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know her name. I'm sure she's been in heaven for a while. If she was 50, she's over 100 now. She's still alive. So I know, and trust me, she was older than 50. Listen to me. She didn't know any more who I was than anybody else. But what if she wouldn't have told me that day? I wonder how many people in this room would have never gotten saved. I wonder how many of your loved ones would have died and gone to hell because they preached a funeral where your loved ones got saved. Yeah. My sister-in-law's former husband passed away from cancer. Paul's mom was a very difficult person. And that's being kind. I remember the family saying, "Oh, you better be careful. She's mean. She's rough. She's just an old East Texas. She's from Texarkana, Arkansas, Texas. Hard." Oh, I remember preaching at Paul's funeral. She sat right over here about where Brother Jim is. I gave the gospel, and her hand was the first one to go up. Several other family members. By the way, she just passed away here about, what, 2-3 months ago? Yeah. By the way, she went to heaven. Amen. She didn't have to die and go. She got done the service, rolled right up to me, and everybody was wondering, is she going to cuss him out? I'm not lying. Crystal was like, tears running down her face. Reached her hand up in her wheelchair, grabbed my hand and said, "Thank you." I talked to her for a moment. She wasn't as tough as everybody thought she was. She just needed Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you something? We shouldn't be afraid to give people the gospel. What if somebody doesn't want it? That's between them and God, not you and them. Amen. I liken it unto the mailman. He brings your bills, but if you don't pay the bills, doesn't mean he has to. It would be nice, but it doesn't work that way. By the way, My Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, let me read you a couple verses. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God says they can't hear without somebody giving them the gospel.
Amen.
How shall they hear without a preacher? That word preacher there doesn't mean pastor. It means somebody giving the gospel. Even God himself says it's our responsibility. Number two, very quickly. We're not responsible for every person to get saved.
Right.
We're responsible to get the gospel to them.
Amen.
People come to this church, hear me preach, I give the gospel. If they walk out those doors lost, I'm not accountable, but I am accountable to make sure they hear the presentation of the gospel.
Amen.
I can't force somebody to get saved. I can't coerce somebody to get saved. Somebody said, well, I didn't think you ought to preach on hell. You'll scare people into heaven. Well, if I got to scare them into heaven, I'll scare them into heaven.
Amen.
If I got to scare them out of hell, I'll scare them out of hell. I don't care the motivation. The fact is they need to hear the truth.
Right.
But I do believe this, the more people we get the gospel to, the more people will hear it and receive it.
That's right.
I believe the more people we tell, listen to this next statement. The more people you tell the gospel to and give the gospel to, the more you're going to want them to get saved. So, my job is to give them that opportunity, not force them to do it. They need a clear presentation of the gospel truth, the gospel. The gospel is not about church, it's about going to heaven. Did you know I've won a lot of people to the Lord that never came to church? Guess what? They're still going to die and go to heaven. Matthew chapter 25, you need not turn there, but let me read you a few verses. Verses 41 through 46. Then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. In prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of the one of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Do you realize when you give somebody the gospel, you're doing what Jesus would do if he were here? You are doing the things that Jesus wanted most. Number three. Listen to this very carefully. Our feet are the things God tells us to use to get the gospel out.
Right.
Ephesians 6:15 talks about the armor of God. And one of the things in the armor of God is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Having your feet shod. Putting horseshoes on, amen? Like shoeing a horse. You say, why the feet? Because we're to take the gospel to every creature. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody telling them. Listen to this next statement. We're not supposed to sit on a computer putting the gospel on a website, letting that be our soul winning. We're not supposed to have some computer program texting or emailing people saying this is how, and I'm not against those things, but he said, take the gospel with your feet, not your fingers. Some of these people that call the church amaze me. Somebody about a year or so ago called the church and my secretary was talking to him. They said, well, how do you advertise for your church? She's gotten used to these calls. She said, "Ma'am, we do what the Bible says and go out door to door and tell folks about Jesus." They said, "Oh, well, what do you do on your computer to tell them?" She said, "Ma'am, we go door to door and tell people about it." "Well, would you be interested in a program that could do this for you so you don't have to do that?" She said, "No, ma'am, we'd rather obey the Bible, thank you." I have her trained well, amen? It's only taken me 13 years to do it, but we're there. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to rely on technology to do it. We're supposed to do it. Acts chapter 2. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 46. This is the day of Pentecost. By the way, not the start of the church, the increase of the church, and it moving around the world. But Acts chapter 2, verse 26. "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread," watch the next phrase, "from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Guess what? You don't go house to house on computer. You go house to house knocking on people's doors. Telling folks everywhere you go, every gas station, every gas pump, "Good night." I met somebody the other day. Matter of fact, my son-in-law was talking to the sales rep for the house that they're building. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I saw your father-in-law's picture up at Sheets the other day." At least it wasn't the post office.
It's been there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right next to Paula's going to jail. No. Now, wait a second. We're supposed to take the gospel everywhere. That means we take it. That means we're out and about. I must finish. Hell is a real place. I've been preaching for almost 46 years. I've seen hundreds of thousands of people get saved all over this country and in Mexico. But I'm not done yet. As long as I've got breath in my body and strength in my body to stand and preach and go to people, I'll give them the gospel. Amen. Listen to this next statement. I wonder how many people I've not told that'll die and go to hell. True story, I was in Mexico preaching. And we were working and I was a teenager. We went back up into this, way back up into this mountain village. We crossed the same river 11 times. You say, "How do you know?" Because all the guys had to get off the bus and push the bus across the river all those times. No lie. This lady came that night. We showed a film called A Burning Hell. And a man got up and preached the gospel afterwards. And there was probably 150, 200 people in that village. And every person came out and most got saved. They had never seen white people before. They were so far back up, they thought we were still mad at them from the Spanish-American War. No lie. A lady was 104 years old, and she came and got saved that night. After she got saved, she was talking to the preacher and tears running down her face. Brother Kevin, I've never forgotten this. She said, "I've outlived my husband. I've outlived my children. I've even outlived some of my grandchildren. My family never heard this before. Does that mean my family's burning in that place called hell?" Yeah. And then she said, "Why did it take so long for you to get here?" Wow. Here's the worst part of it. They had Coca-Cola, but no gospel. You could get Coca-Cola in that village, but they'd never gotten the gospel. How vile. You wonder why I preach the way I do. I've seen that. I'm not allowed about to let Coca-Cola outdo me. Coca-Cola doesn't last very long, but eternity's a long time. Wait till some 104-year-old lady looks at you and says, all of my family, are they burning in that place called hell because nobody told them? One of the wonderful things about heaven is, after the great white throne judgment, God will wipe our tears from our eyes. I believe that also means he'll wipe away the memory of those that are in hell because we couldn't endure eternity knowing where they were at. But I'm hoping God doesn't have to wipe as much of my brain away. It's already leaking out. Let me ask you a question. How much is God going to have to wipe away from you because we don't tell him? Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I'll build my church. Watch this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you know gates are defensive? They're not offensive. That means we're supposed to be charging the gates. That's why when Jesus came up from the grave, he had the keys. Keys to what? The gates to death and hell. He unlocked the gate. All we got to do is go in and start grabbing them. That's what Jude talks about, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Or are you too afraid to get close to the gates of hell to pull people out? Bless God, put me right next to it. I'll grab every hand that I can reach. Who's going to be in hell because we don't tell them? Who's going to be in heaven because we do tell them? Let's take some territory away from the devil this week. Next Saturday. So all you got to do is show up, go outside the store and just wait for people to walk by and hand them a gospel tract. They'll at least get a copy of the gospel. If you want to talk to them, you can. I'm not even asking you to do that. Just get them a copy of the gospel. Maybe we ought to remember hell a little bit more than we want to. Jesus reminds us of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there one today that you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven when you die? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. First of all, you realize you're a sinner. Because we're a sinner, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. But Jesus came and paid that price. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood, died and resurrected and paid our sin debt. Applied that blood to the mercy seat in heaven so we could have eternal salvation. We don't get it by our works. We get it because of what Jesus did. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. Is there one that would say, preacher, and you may put your hands down. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that, but I'd like to know it. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you by name. You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know that, but I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. In a moment, you may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the piano will begin to play. If God's spoken to your heart today, how about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come, take the Bible, and in just a few short moments, you'll know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I promise you. Maybe we ought to remember hell a little bit more often.